The last several weeks I've been dealing with the word. The word is broken. We talked about being a broken pot, being a broken vessel. And then last week we dealt a little bit more with going a little bit further in your brokenness. This morning, this is still on my heart. Now I want to talk to you, and I don't know how much of a sermon, a message this is. I want to talk to you about how to pray with a broken heart. There's a whole lot of people that battle a whole lot of things. And a lot of times if you're not careful, you'll let it hinder you in your walk with God. In the book of Psalm chapter 31 in verse number 12, I want you to leave your Bible in this chapter because I'm going to look in this chapter quite a bit today. Psalm 31 in verse number 12, David the psalmist said, I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. Psalm chapter 31 is a psalm of the sweet psalmist of Israel. David writes here to the chief musician. What that means is that David intended this psalm to be sung and known in the whole congregation. He sent it to the chief choir director and he said, look, I'm not doing this in secret. This is not something that I want for a certain segment of people. He said, I want everybody in the entire congregation to sing this psalm. He gives to them a prayer. He starts out the psalm with this phrase, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. It's a prayer that David offers up. Now, in your Bible, there are 24 verses in this chapter. But there are only 23 sentences in this chapter. What's interesting is if you break the sentences up in the Hebrew where there is a period, a question mark, or an exclamation point, verse number 12, our text verse, is actually the 11th verse or sentence in the writing. Why is that important? Here's why. Because 11 in the Bible is the number of confusion. Every time you see the number 11 in the Bible, you're indicating that somebody is in chaos, somebody is confused, somebody is turned upside down, somebody's life is upended. And what's interesting is the 11th sentence that David gives is a sentence about how he feels in his life. He said, Lord, I had purpose. Lord, I had drive. Lord, I had an idea, but now, in this moment, I feel like a broken vessel. Brothers and sisters, that is exactly what brokenness will do to you. Brokenness will make you feel a certain way. It'll make you operate in a way you never dreamed of. What does that word broken mean? I can already feel this morning that we're going to have a little Baptist fest this morning. You go sit there and act like you're not the one that's broken, although this entire week you feel like your life has been upended. So you can just go ahead and sit there and I'll preach to myself. I've been preaching to Baptists a long time. I've learned to clear me off a spot and act flat slap Pentecostal in the middle of a Baptist church. It don't hurt my feelings. It don't make me nervous. You can sit there and act Baptist. I'm just telling you, I imagine that there are far more broken vessels in the house of God with broken hearts in the house of God than there are whole hearts. There are three definitions to that Hebrew word broken. I want to give them to you right quick. Number one, when David said that he was a broken vessel, the first definition of that word broken, it means to wander away or to lose yourself. Whenever you're wandering away, it means that you're aimlessly floating away from your home, away from your origin, away from where you came from. Here's what David was saying. He said, God, I knew who I was. I knew where my purpose was. You had raised me to be a shepherd, and then you took me from being shepherd to being a warrior. You took me from being a warrior to being a king. You took me from being a king over two tribes to being king over the 12 tribes. But Lord, something has happened in my life. life. I wake up and my title says king, but my heart says shepherd again. My title says ruler, but my heart says nobody even cares about you. That is what happens when you get into a broken place. You have a title, but your purpose doesn't line up with that. That's what happens when you get broken and have a broken heart. You wake up and you say, I know I'm a mother, but I feel like my kids don't even honor me or think about me. As I know that I'm a Christian, but I don't even feel like I'm right with God. I know that I'm supposed to be praying, but nothing inside of me feels like it's supposed to be praying. I know that God birthed me for a reason, but I really don't even know why I'm here. There are people that wander aimlessly through life because of situation and brokenness that comes into your life. It's caused you to go from the place of purpose and the place of knowing what God has called you to do, and now you're kind of aimlessly wandering through this life. You used to come into the house of God and know why you've come, but now you sit there and there is this wandering feeling inside of your soul. You used to wake up on Monday morning excited for the weekend that was to come, being able to spend time with family, but sorrow and brokenness and hurt and pain and death and funeral homes and cancer wards and doctor's visits, it's caused you to wander around, and now you just feel like you've lost yourself. You're broken. You're a broken vessel. The second definition of that word broken, it's not just to wander away, but it literally means to perish. We understand the word perish in a salvational sense. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish. But the word perish, it comes from a word which means to never stop dying. When you say that something is perishing, you're saying that it's never stop dying. Why would that matter? Because if something never stops dying, that means there is no hope of ever living. That's what happens when you're broken. What happens when you're broken is you feel like this pain is never going to end. This person, this situation is never going to stop. This separation is never going to end. And what it ultimately will do is it will rip hope from you. When you no longer hope, you are in a place of perishing. You see, the worst part about hell in eternity is not the fire and not the worms. It's knowing after you've been there a trillion lifetimes, you're no closer to the end, because you never stop dying. Brothers and sisters, that's what it means to be broken. That's what it means whenever you remember who used to sit at that table. That's what it means when you remember who used to be in your life. You think it's never going to be that way. The third definition of the word broken here in chapter number 31, it doesn't just mean to wander and to lose yourself. It doesn't just mean to perish, but it also means to be spent. It means to give everything you've got. Now, you folks from Tennessee are getting close to California. Y'all are closer to California than we are, which means y'all's language is changing. Back where I'm from, whenever you just don't have any more strength, you say, I'm tired. There's a difference between tired and tired. Tired can be healed with a nap. Tired never ends. Brothers and sisters, we'll laugh about that on a Saturday afternoon when we're ready to lay down and take us a nap. But there's something about after you get off the phone call that you just had, when your insides feel like you got no more strength. There's something about when your mind races 1,000 miles an hour and you sit down and you say, did I just run a marathon? You see, whenever you are broken, the sorrow and the tears, they do not just bring with them liquid out of your eyes. They take all of the energy and they drain it out of your person. Brothers and sisters, there are broken vessels in this house right now, and you feel weary and you feel broken and you feel like you've got no more strength, and you feel like David. You say, Lord, I'm in that place of confusion. I'm in that place of not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go. I feel like, oh God, a broken vessel. And if you're not careful, you'll let that draw you away from the place of praying. But here's what's interesting. When you read 24 verses in Psalm chapter number 31, 11 different times David calls on the proper name of God Almighty. 11 different times you'll see either the name Lord or God over and over. Here's the point. If in the 11th verse he said, I feel broken and confused, he said, God, I'm not going to let my brokenness and my confusion rob me of my walk with you. I'm in covenant with you. You bled for me. You died for me. And I'm not going to let anything pull me away. I want to help somebody right now. You may feel broken, but keep on praying. You may feel taken out, but just keep on praying. You may feel like there's no hope, just keep on praying. You may feel like you've got no energy, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel like there's no hope, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel like it's not making a difference, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel like nobody cares, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel shattered in 1,000 pieces, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel like you're not making a difference, but you got to keep on praying. You may feel like it's never going to change, but you got to keep on praying. You're not going to pray through a broken heart. You're going to have to learn how to pray with a broken heart. Ladies and gentlemen, I've come to tell somebody right now, you may be in a state of confusion. You may be in a state of chaos. You may be in a state of being upended, but there is still a God in heaven, and there's still hope at the old rugged cross, and my name is still written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this morning, I'm going to give you 4 things you have to have in order to pray with a broken heart. Leave your Bible open. Number one, if you're going to pray with a broken heart, the first lesson is, do not try to hide a broken heart from God. You say, where do you get that from? Well, if you just kindly read down through this chapter, you're going to find out that David was a pretty honest guy. I'll just read a couple of verses to you. Verse number 4, pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. You know what that means? He said, they're trying to trip me up privately. They're trying to tear my nerves up privately. They're sending me those little text messages and the little slide remarks on Facebook. I know that they're not putting a name with it, but they know who they're talking about, and I know who they're talking about. He says in verse number 5, he says, I've got to commit my spirit unto you. Verse number 6, I hate them that regard lying. He said, God, they lying against me. They're just making stuff up. Verse number 8, thou hast not shut me into the hand of the... He said the enemy is trying to wrap his hands around my life. Look in verse number 10, for my life is spent with grief, my years with sight. He said, Lord, he said, I'm just tore up all the time. He said, my nerves are tore up. My life is tore up. My friends are tore up. I don't understand what you're doing. He says in verse number 13, he says, I've heard the slander of many. Fear is on every side. You realize what David was saying? He's saying, God, you already know what's going on. I may as well just be honest with you. Boy, Baptists are going to have a hard time when they get to heaven. Y'all sitting there like this on the inside. My family's falling apart. Oh, God, my life's torn to pieces. I don't know why they're saying that about me. I don't know why they're thinking that about me. I don't know why God's doing that. And then you get down to pray. Oh, Lord, I thank you for thy blessings upon my life. Lord, I thank you that the problems are not this. And I bet God's up in heaven saying, what you talking about? Your insides are melted like lava, but your words look like stone. He said, why don't you just open up to me and talk to me like I already know what you're going through? You know, you would probably feel a lot better in your praying if you didn't feel like you had to hide so much from the God of heaven. Instead of bowing your head and saying, Lord, I want to thank you for this sliver of bread, you look up to the God of heaven and say, Lord, I don't deserve this sliver of bread, but my heart is broken that so-and-so is not sitting at the table with me. God, I don't know why you gave me this sickness. God, I don't understand why they're saying that about me. God, I don't know why you're making me walk through this valley. God, I don't know why you took that thing from me. God, I don't understand who you're bringing into my life. God, I don't know why you didn't answer that prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, at the end of the day, the worst thing you can possibly do is not be open with the God of heaven, not be honest with the God of heaven, not be true with the God of heaven. There's a whole lot of sinners that are going to die and go to a devil's hell because they wouldn't get real with God. And you look at it and say, I'll go to God when I get over the addiction. God knows you can't get over the addiction. That's why he gave you the power of the Holy Ghost to overcome the addiction. You don't get cleaned up before you go to God. You get cleaned up after you give your mess to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder right now, is there anybody with a broken heart that says, I'm tired of holding it on the inside. I'm tired of holding the hurt and the rejection and the pain and the fear and the anxiety. I'm going to lay it all down at the foot of the old rugged cross and say, God, you already know my pain and you already know my sorrow and you already know my hurt and you already know my torment. Oh, God, here I am. When you pray with a broken heart, don't try to hide a broken heart from God. Don't try to keep on the inside what God meant for you to come on the outside. I heard of a rancher went to a veterinarian because he wanted some free advice. Rancher goes to the veterinarian. He says to the veterinarian, he said, man, I got this horse. He walks normal half the time, and then he limps the other half of the time. What do I do? The veterinarian looked at the rancher, and he said, next time he walks normal, sell him. That's the people of God. Half the time we limp, and then when we see people come around, we straighten up. So I can't let them know that I'm broken. I can't let them know that I'm hurt. Can I help you with something? I don't really care what anybody thinks about me. Nobody down here died for me. Nobody down here bled for me. Nobody down here saved me. Nobody down here called me. Nobody down here helps me in the way that the good God of heaven helps me. Don't you try to impress people. Impressing people will leave you disappointed and discouraged. You look up to the God of heaven and say, Lord, I know I'm broken right now. I know I don't understand it right now. I know I can't figure it out right now. But Lord, I'm going to be honest with you, for in thee do I trust. Don't try to hide your broken heart from God when you pray. Number two, we got to keep going, because in verse number one, the second lesson that you have to understand when you pray with a broken heart is don't let a broken heart break your spirit. Don't let a broken heart break your spirit. Watch what he says in verse one. He says in verse number one, in thee, O Lord, do I put my, say this word, trust. Circle that word trust. Draw you a line out to the side. Do you know what that word trust means in the Hebrew? It means to flee from something and run to something in order to have refuge. It has the idea of an enemy being hot on your trail, but you don't just run away from, you run to, toward, at, by. Brothers and sisters, I don't know any other way to say this other than to say this. So are you ready for some cold, hard facts? Church may have hurt you. Jesus didn't. People may have let you down. Jesus didn't. Sorrow may be against you, Jesus ain't. Preachers may be sorry, Jesus ain't. Deacons may have robbed your trust, Jesus didn't. Sunday school teachers may have said something you didn't agree with, Jesus didn't. Stop superimposing what they did to you as what he did to you.
Brothers and sisters, I don't understand the ways of God. I don't understand the plan of God. But I know this, people might be rotten, but Jesus ain't. The sign of a mature believer is separating what was done to you versus what God allows it to do for you. 11 brothers threw Joseph in a pit, but God took that which was meant for evil, turned it for good. God is so powerful that He can take the hurt and rejection and withdrawal and the situations that we do not understand and turn those things for our good. I'm not a big animal person. Y'all know how I feel about animals. God made them, and I know there's a point to them, but I ain't figured it out yet. Now, I don't hurt animals. I don't do all that stuff. I just stay away from them. But yesterday, it was a beautiful day. My daughter was with me. We rolled the windows down in my truck. We went in to do our duties of fellowshipping and eating and things and came out. And Ella Faith opens the back door, slams it shut, and says, "There's a bird in there." I can tell you what color tattoo was on his leg, honey. I ain't lying to you. I'm telling you it was in there. But there was a bluebird in my vehicle. And evidently, when my 11-year-old opened that door, it scared that bluebird, if you know what I'm saying. Ella Faith, am I lying, child? Telling you right now, I looked at her. I said, "What are we gonna do?" And that 11-year-old with the mouth of a 19-year-old said, "I don't know what you gonna do, but we ain't gonna do nothing." So I go up to the door and I open the door, and the closer I got to that bird, the further it tried to fly from me. It kept flying into the window. You know what I had to do? I had to open up the other side. Because I scared that bird and it was never going to come toward me. It was flying away. Y'all think I'm lying? I'm telling you, this is exactly how it happened. It flew out the door on the other side. My little girl, we take her to the doctor to get her shots or to get sick. She's sick, has to get a shot or whatever it is. Her mama will sit right beside her on the bed and the doctor comes up. She knows that shot's coming. Children can see it coming. They just sense it. You know what my little girl will do? She'll scream and cry, "Please, Mom, no, no." But the closer that shot gets, she hugs her mama tighter. Even though she's crying, "Please, Mama, don't let..." She just hugs her mama tighter and tighter and tighter. Too many Christians act like that bird. We flee away from God. When we really need to be like that little child and let the brokenness draw you closer to the God of heaven. There are people in this room right now, you can't tell the last time you prayed because it's been so long that the hurt has broken you. You can't tell the last time you come to church, you go through the motions, but don't let pain and brokenness drive your spirit away from God. Don't let a broken heart break your spirit. Can I give you the third lesson how you pray with a broken heart? The third thing that you have to do is you have to repent for the low moments. Watch what David says in verse number 22 of this chapter. Verse 22, he makes this statement. He says, "For I said in my haste, I'm cut off before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication." Will you circle that word "cut off," that phrase "cut off"? It's a Hebrew word which literally means to be severed from the presence of God. It's the only time in all the Bible that Hebrew word is ever used. It means to be completely and totally cut off from God. Time. Does anybody else remember a psalm, the 139th psalm, that said, "Whither shall I flee from thy spirit? And where shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend up into the heaven, behold, thou art there. And if I make my bed down in hell, lo, thou art there." David said in Psalm chapter 139, he said, "God, no matter how high I go, no matter how low I go, I'll never be cut off from your presence." But the same one that said that got in a broken spot. You know what he said? He said, "I said in my haste, I'm cut off." Brokenness will make you think things and say things against God. You'll question his plan. You'll question what he's doing. You'll question why he's done this and why he's done that. I can remember a specific instance when my wife and I, we had our little girl, our little Ella, and she was sick and in the hospital those first several weeks being born. And you drive back and forth from the hospital at night. I remember one night just being so mad, being so upset, being so just, I didn't understand it. And I said, "God, I sure hope you know what you're doing, because I don't." And it's the way you say those things to God. But David got on the other side of the brokenness and he said, "Now, Lord, I said in my rashness, my haste, that I was cut off, but I know you heard me. Lord, I just want to tell you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say, I don't know why I said that." Can I tell you something? There are people in this room right now that are under the sound of my voice in the low spot. You said something or thought something, and it wells up inside of you with such guilt. God says, "Don't worry about the low moment. Just repent and let's move on." Brothers and sisters, we all make mistakes. We all say things. We all do things. We all question God. We all don't understand. It doesn't take many times going down to a cemetery to say, "Lord, I don't understand what you're doing." It doesn't take many times being in a cancer ward to say, "God, I don't know what you're doing." It doesn't take many times having people ripped from your life to say, "God, I don't know what you're doing." It doesn't take many times being betrayed to say to God, "God, I don't know what you're doing." But here's what I'm telling you. If you're going to pray with a broken heart and you're going to go a step further with a broken heart, you have got to look to the God of heaven and say, "God, I'm sorry for what I said in my brokenness. I'm sorry for what I thought in my sorrow. I'm sorry for how I operated right there. God, I'm sorry that I said that to so-and-so over there. God, I was broken. I was hurt. I was shattered. God, in my haste, I said these. But your loving kindness, you heard my cry." My kids hate when I talk about them in my messages. So I'm not going to tell you the story of my children. These are two imaginary children. This wasn't in my house. This was in a man's house whose name was Pastor Siler. He had two kids. The little boy was named Kaysen and the little girl was named Rella. So it wasn't in my house. These two kids came from the same womb, but they respond differently to punishment. Every family with more than two children, you've got one child that wilts in punishment, and the other child bows in punishment. Oh yeah, I can tell right now, y'all know what I'm talking about. One child crumbles in brokenness. Another child hardens in brokenness. That one child that hardens in brokenness, the more you poke, the more they bow. And there are people in this room spiritually that are the exact same way. And it's been a long time since God's messed with you. And the devil's told it because God's mad at you. That's not the case. The reason God ain't fooling with you right now is because he's poked you long enough and you kept bowing up on him. It's time to wilt back down. Say, Lord, I'm coming back. There are people in this room right now, it's been a long time since you've been in church and you've wandered far away from God, but it's time to come home. If you're going to pray with a broken heart, let me give you the fourth thing you've got to have. The fourth thing you've got to have if you're going to pray with a broken heart is found in verse number 23 and 24. You have to be constant and courageous in the midst of brokenness. If you're going to pray with a broken heart, you've got to be constant and courageous in the midst of that brokenness. Will you look in verse number 23? Oh, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, all he, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. I love the word. I love studying those words. And I want you to circle that phrase, proud doer. It's a word picture that literally means the swelling of the sea. I hate the ocean. Genuinely, bona fidedly, hate the ocean. There is nothing productive that comes from the ocean. All you people that eat fish, you should have been Moby Dick. I don't know what to tell you. That's the nastiest thing under God's green earth. My wife got me on a cruise ship one time. How many times did I say? I said one time. Second night of that cruise ship, captain comes over the intercom, sitting at the dinner table. He says, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we are expecting some high winds and the seas will get a little rough. We will do our best to keep you safe. Am I telling the truth? It's exactly what he said. To say that he understated the problem, we couldn't afford one of the rooms with the balconies, and thank God we didn't. We'd have drowned that night. We had one of them holes right there. Look through the glass. When I tell you the water was rolling, I don't know how high those waves got, but they were massive. Do you know what makes waves? Wind. Wind. Did you know that wind blowing is what takes calm seas to 9-foot swells? There's the same amount of water in that ocean before the wind and after the wind. But the wind cutting through the peace causes the waves to go higher than they've ever been. It's the disturbance that causes the water to rise to new levels. It's the breaking of the peace that causes the waves to be here and then take them to here. It's the same with sorrow. David said, Lord, you plentifully reward the one that allows the disturbance to take them to new heights. Too many times we get into problems and we get into pain and sorrow and hurt and brokenness and we allow it to push us down. But we need to be like the water in the sea when that wind comes and breaks the peace in our life. We look at that problem and say, you don't realize what you've just done. You have awakened
somebody that's going to rise up to new levels. I used to be down here, but that problem is going to take me to a new level. I used to be down surface, and nobody was bothering me. I wasn't creating any issues, and the seagulls were just sitting there, but that hard wind has blown into my life, and now, by the grace of God, you ain't going to be able to sit on me. You ain't going to be able to lay there. You ain't going to be able to handle this, because you are now taking me up to new heights. How many problems come into our lives and we stop praying and we stop seeking God and we stop searching for the miracle and we stop going after God and we stop coming to church and we stop singing in the choir and we stop teaching this and we stop doing that and we stop being faithful here. Instead, David said, "Nah, devil, you done hunkered down with the wrong one. In fact, I'm not going to stay lower. I'm thinking to go up to a new level. That problem is going to take me higher. That issue is going to make me go higher. God, I'm going to be faithful and I'm going to be constant and I'm going to let the wind blow and rise to new levels." You don't mess with the wrong child because you've just awakened a sleeping giant, a mama that wasn't making much of a splash. Now I'm thinking to sink battleships. Honey, I'm telling you right now, there's some people that need to look at the problem and say, "I'm not sitting down. I'm not laying down. I'm going to let that thing cut through my life and it's going to raise me up to a new height. It's going to raise me up to a new level. It's going to cause me to seek harder and pray harder and go harder and do more. The problem may have hurt, but it's going to take me higher. The problem may have broken, but it's going to take me higher. The problem may bring sorrow, but it's going to make me higher." Ladies and gentlemen, be constant and courageous in the problem and watch where the problem takes you to. King Leonidas, the king of the Greek Empire, or the Greek Isles rather, Xerxes, the Persian king, was about to invade his land. Xerxes sent an emissary to Leonidas, the king. Xerxes' army was 10 times what the Spartans were. So Xerxes sent an emissary trying to scare Leonidas. And he said, "King Leonidas, Xerxes has so many archers that when they shoot their arrows, it darkens the sun." Leonidas looked at the emissary unfazed and unbothered. He looked at him. He said, "Good, I love fighting in the shade." Brothers and sisters, it's about being courageous in the midst of problems. It's about looking at something that's happened in your family, and instead of saying, "Why did this happen? How is this going to be undone?" It's about going to the God of heaven and saying, "Lord, the devil has done opened up the wrong box. I'm about to do something to the kingdom of darkness." It's when the devil walks into your family and he tries to wrap his claws around your children, and you say, "You don't realize who you just wrapped your claws around." It's when he walks into your marriage and it looks like it's rattling and it's shaking. You don't realize whose marriage you just tried to mess up. It's when he walks into a church and he tries to break the people and shatter the people. Those people get faith in their heart. And they say, "You don't realize who you've just walked into. You didn't walk into some little podunk, hopscotch, hokey pokey thing. You've walked into the army of the Most High God. And now I'm a pulling my sword out and I'm a pulling my shield out and I'm about to take back what the devil stole from me." If you're going to pray with a broken heart, you've got to be courageous. Where's the army of God in 2024? Where's the army of God that says, I'm not letting my mom and daddy's divorce mess me up. I'm not letting the death that shook my life keep me from the plan of God. I see a day in the future when some of you mamas and daddies that lost children stand before God and you're reunited with that child that comes out of the corner, I want you to be able to grab them by the hand with your chest held out. Say, "I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. I didn't let brokenness break me." Amen. You must keep praying
with a broken heart. Let's bow our heads this morning.